name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. With the grace of God, we will talk about the Holy Traditions. The Holy Traditions is easy and it's touchy in the same time, because a lot of the churches outside is feeling that this is something antique and something just not to be kept. But by doing that, this is like breaking the chain from the time of the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles. Let me start with a story. Pope Shenouda once was talking about a fictional story. It's not true. Talking about the Lord Jesus Christ after he finished his mission, the salvation mission, and he descended to, he went back to his heaven, and the angels are happy with seeing the Lord. And they told him, you know, did you spread the face all over the world? He said, no. Okay, did you spread the face to all the important people and he said, no. Okay, did you spread the face to Jerusalem and the he said, no. They said, what? You did. He said, I give the face to 12, and they will spread the face all over the world. For that, the Lord Jesus Christ selected his people and give them the faith, and we will talk about the faith and the tradition as one, but now and the time we will spread them apart. But he gave the faith to the 12, and the 12, you know, delivered them the faith to the others, to the fathers, and the fathers took the faith and delivered to the generation after the generation until it reached us and it will go after us. That's why the Father said, the Lord bestowed, provide, the apostles proclaim, and the fathers safeguarded. Let me say that again. The Lord bestowed. Maybe I'm pronouncing that right. And the apostles proclaimed, bashar, declared, and the fathers safeguarded. We'll talk about an example. Maybe we'll give you an idea of what we're talking about today, which is the tradition. Saint Mark went to Egypt, and when he went to Egypt and he started to spread the faith and from one nuclear part and spread to all the Egyptians, until the last days of his life, he was where he was. He was, that was the resurrection feast, and he was in the church and in the liturgy itself. And in that liturgy, maybe they asked him how we can pray, how we can perform that liturgy, and he remembered what happened in his mother's house in the upper room of Zion when the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus Christ took the bread, thank and break, and he told them, take, this is my body. And he took the cup after supper, and there is wine and water, and he blessed, and he gave them, and he said, this, take this, this is my blood. He remembered that, and he put that in a liturgy, and he performed this liturgy in front of them. And is this liturgy someone took that and start writing? No. It was oral. It didn't take long, but it's more than 300 years. They just passed it generation after generation, never been written, until Pope number 20, Saint Athanasius, said, you know, this is not right. Maybe it will be go astray. And he starts writing in a papyrus the liturgy of Saint Mark. And after few years, which is the Pope Saint Cyril the Great, the Pope number 24, he took this liturgy and he starts to add Awashi, Latinis, intercessor prayers, and he performed it until it's known now as Saint Cyril liturgy. You see, it's passed 300 years or more in oral, never been written. A lot of things, it's passed through generations just by the word of mouth. Did the Lord Jesus Christ wrote the gospel to his disciple and they said, okay, this is the gospel, somebody write after me? No. They just was following him everywhere, seeing how he confronted the people, how he healed the sick, raising the dead, and performing and doing everything, and they start to absorb with the guide of the Holy Spirit. He told them, don't leave Jerusalem until you wear a power from up high. And they start to remember, and with the guidance of the Holy Spirit, start to write everything, and from generation to generation until it reaches us. And we'll see beyond that a lot of things happen through that tradition. If we do like to say what is, we will repeat several times the tradition, and every time we will have some kind of verse. This is like a biblical evidence or support to us. And here, sometimes you read in some of the books, paradosis, which is a Greek word, means para, which is equal, but paradosis is delivery of a deposit and somebody receive it. For that, it's the tradition, which is the need of traditions is delivery and receive. The church tradition is a continuous stream of the church in life, in the life of Jesus Christ by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then its generation delivers the faith to another generation. We will repeat ourselves several times until it settles in us what is the traditions and what is the biblical support. Here, St. Paul talking to the Thessalonians. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or our letter or epistle. For that this is the tradition. Something that they received, the apostle received from the Lord, they pass it to the other generation, and pass from generation to generation, unbroken chain. Now we have to ask ourselves three questions. What are the traditions of the church? What are the sources of these traditions? And what is the biblical support, which we all the time, we will talk about that as we're going along. Here, St. Paul talking to them about the liturgy. For I received from the Lord, Pireo, which is a designated for the oral tradition concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. It's tradition. I received from the Lord, he is an apostle, and he delivered to you that the Lord Jesus, on the same night which he was betrayed, took bread and ta-ta-ta, for that he talking about the liturgy. Received from the Lord, delivered to the generations, kept unbroken chain until it reached us. Now the tradition again. The faith once delivered to the saints. First and third. Tradition is the unity of Christ through the Holy Spirit which guides. Again, this is fact. Christ did not deliver his disciples and apostles written documents. They heard him teach, followed him everywhere. They saw him praying, teaching, healing the sick, raising the dead, confronting the people. They heard him. They lived with him. And after that, they passed that to other generations. We're talking not just the gospel. Even when you worship and when you put the sign of the cross, why you put it like that, not for the other type, from the other side, like the Catholic? You know, because this is our tradition. We see the shadow of the cross in front of us, and he turned us from the left to the right. This is tradition past. When you hear the gospel, there is two candles, and everybody stand up. And who is reading the gospel, if the Pope or the Bishop, he has to take his crown, because there is evidence for, and as we will talk how we can test that's the right tradition. The gospel is one of the tests we can use to test the true tradition. Even the Bible itself came to us through tradition. St. Basil the Great, he said, it's note that the church tradition gives testimony to the scripture, and the scripture itself is a part of the church tradition. Again, you know, the Bible, I'll read it again. It's note that the church tradition gives testimony to the Holy Scripture. It's a witness to the Holy Tradition, to the Scriptures. And at the same time, this Scripture itself is part of the traditions. Saint Augustine says, because for you, I am a bishop, with you, I am a Christian. It means a bishop appointed by God to deposit his people, the Christian tradition. This is his job. The Lord appointed him, and he trusted him to deliver the traditions, the Christian tradition. At the same time, he practiced this tradition with them, as one of them, as a Christian. For that, even the bishops, their job is to pass the tradition from generation to generation, and in the same time, they practice the tradition because they are Christian. They have to live, and so for that, because of you, I'm a bishop, and with you, I'm a Christian. Now, again, we just repeating until it's settled in us what is the tradition, and we will go in examples and how we can test. And in the same time, we're going across to biblical support or to have the evidence from the Bible all the time. Tradition is all the things what the Lord says is written or passed. No, so many miracles, so many teaching, but all of them, you know, the important part of them came to us through the generation, through tradition, through the unbroken chain from generation to generation until it reached us. Tradition of Christ preserved the church life through the successive generations. Tradition is the spiritual death. As we see here what St. John says. And there are also many other things which the Lord, which Jesus did, which they should be written if they should be written. Everyone, I think that even the word itself could not contain the books that should be written. So many different things. We can see the Lord in the 40 days even after resurrection. He was talking to them, appeared to them several times, and he's talking about the kingdom of heaven. None of them reached us written, but it's all filtered through the tradition. Maybe they ask him, the Lord, how we can baptize someone, how we can pray, how we can get couple to be get married, how we can enter the church, how we can do this. And he was talking to them, and the apostles took this all. Some of them writing, and some of them by oral, and some of them passed from generation to generation until it reached us. As you see here, we just touch base with a lot of things about what is tradition. In the same time, we give a biblical support, and we will go in examples in the Old Testament and the New Testament about tradition. What are the traditions of the church? As now all of us know, as we said before, the church tradition are all the education that came to us through Christ, the apostolic and the patristic delivery in oral or written word. Here St. John again in his third epistle, he said, I had many things to write, but I do not wish to write to you with pen and ink, but I hope to see you shortly and we shall speak face to face. This is reminding me with somebody attending the liturgy and somebody reading the book of liturgy. If he reads it, he cannot feel the face-to-face or attending the liturgy or hearing that while you're driving in a cassette or in the TV. And there is, it's a liturgy from that monastery and so. But what about attending? That's completely different. For that, sometimes the word of mouth is worse a lot than even writing or reading or hearing. For that, you can attend, you can confront it with the Lord himself in this event. Examples of the traditions. I'm not sure if you can see here, because you can? Okay. The traditions of the church, the Bible itself, as we said, it's canonized actually in the middle of the second century. Even it's written, the last part of the Gospel of the Holy Bible written, the last part is St. John's Gospel. Even the church arranged it differently and they put Revelation at the end. But this arrangement happened because of our benefit and because of the fathers felt like this is how they can put the arrangement of the gospel one by one. And here, the Bible itself is one of the traditions, even became the core and the source of testing the right of the tradition. Direction to the east, saving Sunday instead of Saturday. The systems of fasting and prayer, the arrangement of the divine liturgy, the priesthood garments, the clothes, the utensils of the service, even the law of the apostles, the canons, all these things came from tradition, passed from the Lord to the apostles, to unbroken chain through the fathers, which they safeguarded the tradition. That's why, again, St. Paul says to the Philippians, these things which you learned, received, and heard, and saw in me, this do. It's not just the letters what he wrote or the teaching, but everything, even how he reacts as a Christian. These things, when you see it in me, when you heard, we saw, receive, learn, this do. And the God of peace will be with you. For that, this is when you see in your home, before you eat and you start to, pray. This is a tradition. They taught us that we have to pray before we eat. We have to pray before we exit or enter, or before we sleep, we have to pray. And when you have time, all the time, while you are walking, talking, playing, doing anything, they told us it's the hour prayer, which is even the word of the Lord Jesus Christ is sufficient enough to keep you going. As you breathe, you have to, the same time, you have to remember the Lord all the time and every day in the daily. Traditions and the church worship. Through traditions, we accept our church life in Jesus Christ. Through the church liturgy, the rites, the canons, and all that all belongs to our worship. If I'm going fast, tell me, but I feel like I'm just repeating the subject until it's settled and you have it in your hand. Now we're talking about the Bible itself, which is the core of tradition, and it's, again, the evidence and the test for how the tradition is true. We use it a lot. Tradition preserves the Bible by tradition. This is St. Origen says, actually. By tradition, I know that the four Gospels are the true ones. Here, the tradition, by tradition, the church says and accepted the gospel according to St. Matthew, St. Mark, St. Luke, and St. John, and rejected the gospels of Andrew, Paul, sometimes they felt like Jude, and Mary, the Magdalene gospel, and all these things. No, it's not right. For that, this here, what the fathers have, guarded, passes from generation to generation, and this is acceptable, and this is became by tradition. This is the only four acceptable gospels. The gospel is a core of the holy tradition. The apostle received the gospel of Christ, not written on paper. As we said, the Lord didn't give a written document to his apostles. They heard him, they see him, how he confronts the people, for that now they deliver it upon the church in a written form and in oral as well. Direction to the east. This is another. The Lord, he said, I am the light of the world. And we know that the light, starts from the east. And we know that the paradise was the East Eden, Sharqi Adam. And we are longing to go back to that paradise, for that we have to look to the east, because this is where we're heading, or we do like to go back. We know that the three wise men, they saw a star in the east, and in the Discolia, how we can pronounce that in English, but Discolia, that's the canon book of the apostles, and chapter 10, they said, when you build the church, have the direction of the church to the east. And even we know that the Lord Jesus Christ descended to heaven from the east, and the angel said, again, as you see him going, you will see him coming. For that, we love it. We look to the east. And we know that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he was looking to the west. That's why in the chapel there, you see on the Hamel Iconat, you see the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross looking to the west. Because this is the direction where the cross. Saint Athanasius says, our Lord Jesus Christ ascended, heading toward the east from the Mount of Olives. Even in the Old Testament, Zechariah says, and in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem. And this is all evidence that it crystallized that we worship looking to the east, and this became a tradition. It wasn't written anywhere, and established, passed from generation to generation. And you cannot feel like, you know what, I will get to the church, but I feel like I'm looking this way. This is not right. Turn and look to the east, because this is the tradition. And this is like just one of the tradition, and this is how we can, the building. Here, through the church building, and its contents, are the living icon of the heavenly. Everything in the church, everything, the icons, it's telling the story. It's not just a piece of art, but it's telling the story. Like this is the seven archangels, where we know that they are seven. In the book of Tobiah, I'm Raphael, one of the seven. And we can hear that in a lot of stories. And I take that an icon, talking about story, and talking about Archangel Michael, Saint Stephen, all the iconology is talking about the heavenly. Even the hymns you see here in the church, they're praising Saint Mary and the Kyak praises, and all these hymns, it passed to us through generations and became tradition. I'll tell you a story about that. And at the end of the 19th century, beginning of the 20th century, the traditions of hymns is about to vanish, because all the old people, not all of them, they know all the hymns with Alhan, with Taratil. For that, what happened is Pope Carolus V, he was feeling like maybe they will get lost. And what we can do? I hear Ma'alim Fulan, he knows this type of hymns very well, but he has no idea about the other. And another one is expert in this, and another one an expert in this. He found a small little boy, his name is Mikhail Betanoni. And this guy, he's a young boy, and every time he hears any of these hymns, he can just, you know, like, know it by heart. And he can, and the Pope invites him again and tell him, did you hear that Ma'alim Biur al-Hymn? Yes. And he tells the Pope that. The Pope got an idea. I will hide him تحت الدكة تاتي. And he hides Mikhail Bertanoni there. And he gets each one of these older people who know all these stories, and he told them, tell me the lachn of so, tell me so. And Mikhail is listening and hearing, and in his memory there was no record, no, you know, digital or whatever, and nothing to, even nothing to record all these things. It's recorded in Mikhail. This is maybe the guidance of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, he's a grandpa of someone here in the church. And he heard all these things, and he starts to teaching others these hymns, until before he passed away, it reached some of the records for that we can know all these hymns. But the Holy Spirit guided Pope Carolus V to have Mikhail Betanoni hiding under his dekka and hearing all these things from each one, until we preserve the tradition of hymns and pass generation after generation. And here, even the liturgy itself, as we said, St. Mark, when he was performing the liturgy, and it stayed 300 years or more until St. Athanasius, when he wrote that, and few generations until St. Cyril the Great starts to add, and so for that, this is passed through oral, by the word of mouth, in their hearts, written until it's written on paper, and this is tradition of the liturgy. Is the tradition just, we're talking about the New Testament? Is Joseph, when he was in Potiphar's house, and he felt like, no, I won't commit adultery with this lady, because that will get God upset. How you know that? Oh, my father told me. And how Jacob, how you know that his father told him? It's a tradition passed from generation to generation. Abraham, when the Lord appeared to Abraham and said, your descendants will to your descendant I will give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord. How do you know that when you pray, you built an altar? Yeah, my father told me, maybe his father, Tim Adam. This is passing information generation to generation. Noah, when he was, after he finished all his mission, he did something, you know, it never happened before. He took every clean animal and clean bird and he raised them an offering. How do you know that? To what about if you take a snake and eagle? What about sahlefa? No, it has to be clean animal and clean bird to be offered. How do you know that? No, it's traditions. I know that from my father, from my grandfather. It's passing generations and passing through the generation, the tradition. Jacob, he was so scared from his brother and he was going astray, and one time in the desert, he slept. And the Lord telling him, wherever you go, I am with you. And even here, he saw the ladder connecting the earth to heaven, which is a symbol of Saint Mary, because she connects the earthly people with the heavenly people. And now, when he rose early in the morning, took a stone, and he put that as a pillar, and he poured oil on top. How do you know that? To consecrate that pillar, to put oil. Oh, I know that from my father and grandfather. It's generations after travel with the traditions. For traditions is even exist in the Old Testament. And in the two Testaments, New Testament, before we go to that, some of the stories. Here, St. Peter's talking about a story happened before the creation until the end of time. And St. Jude says that there is a conversation happened between Archangel Michael, and the devil was trying to see where the Lord hid the body of Moses, and he said, I will tell you nothing, but the Lord rebuke you. Did you hear that? This is stories happened before even creation. And now I heard this story from my father, and my father heard from grandfather. It's a tradition even of the stories before the creation of the world. Now, is all everything happened in the New Testament happened to be delivered to us? A lot of miracles happened, and we can see here when the sun was setting, all this was having all diseases. They brought them to the Lord, and the Lord healed a lot of sick, and this is a lot of miracles. Never been told all of them one by one. Because as we remember, St. John says, if we put everything the Lord did one by one, the books of the world cannot contain this thing. Teaching, as we said, 40 days, and even the Sermon on the Mount, we heard more of it on the Gospel of St. Matthew, some of them in the Gospel of St. Luke, but not everything. The Lord was talking with Amos brothers, and here we, Tibnizei Amos, Amos. And they were talking, he was talking to them about all the prophecy, talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning to the end, and all this teaching, it never reached us. And even in the gospel itself, talking about the gospel, even the gospel never been canonized but the middle of the second century. But in the same time, a lot of teaching, a lot of miracles happened, but it reached us as we can benefit from them. How we can test this tradition are true? We said that the Bible came to us through tradition and became the core and the test we use to test. For that, now you can see Abuna with the oil. If anyone sick, go to Abuna and he Yerushim Bezit, and if this is right, yeah, it's St. James says, is anyone among you sick? Let him call the elders of the church. And elders actually, ممكن تتقال على القمص, because he has double. Anyhow, for that, when you read the word elder or shiuch, this is usually el hegumen.
They heard that from father,
not Jean. And even there is a lot of tradition, and how I'm not sure if you can absorb that, but when the two fathers meet each other, they they get to each other by the hands. If it's priest to priest, it's one time. If it's priest to hegumen, it's two times. And if it's priest to the bishop, it's three times, representing the Holy Spirit. Because in the Bible, it says he has double honor. For that double honor, two times. Even when he give him, you know, as an honor, al-bukhur, to the priest, he give him one time. To the hegumen, he has to give him two times, ayadi bukhur. To the bishop, or the patriarch, three times as a symbol of the Holy Spirit, because he represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Tradition, but it's biblically supported. And here the oil, it's here in the Bible, for that we can know that this is right. Why we go to the church and we worship, we kneel in front. Oh, David says in Psalm 5, 7, that I go to Hadira, Sotari. But as for me, I will come.
I'll come into your house in the multitudes of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple.
For that he knows. That it's written in the Bible that when I enter the temple of God, I have to worship. And this is biblically supported by the gospel itself. Is other things we can? Yes. If it's something going through all the apostolic churches, and we will press again about the apostolic, it has to be the stream from the Lord Jesus Christ going through the apostles, through unbroken chain, through the fathers, until it reached us, for that it became apostolic church. For that, if we can see that in the Syrian, in the Orthodox church in Russia, and so, if they're doing the same thing, they're going, oh, you can see that. Even Abuna Shnuda one time, he said, when they read the Gospels in some of the churches in Russia, they not just stand, they kneel, birka, while they talking about the church. And when Egypt, in the end of the 18th century, there was Napoleon, he entered with so, and they wrote description of Egypt, which Wahda Minhum burned recently, but they discovered there are five original and one of them just burned. But anyhow, here they wrote a book about, and they described the Copt people and the Copt congregation, and they entered, they find a fish, wala chairs, wala ay haga, they are empty, and they were complaining that it's long hands, and the elder people, they, and the Masaya, but it's not Aliyah, the others all standing, the whole liturgy. And it was maybe longer than now, and the priest, there is no microphone for that, he has to, you know, raise his voice, and so for that, it's tradition. And if it's in the other apostolic church is the same, then it's true. And we can test it by if it's originated origins to the apostle area, or the writings of the church. I wrote a lot of things here, but I don't want to, because I feel like I send the message for that there is a lot of things we can test. One of the things, again, is the ecumenical council. We know that in the Council of Nicaea, this is like just a revision of things you know already, the 318 bishop. And as you know that, I'm sure whoever told you that, in that council, they found, when they count them, they found them 319. And when they count the chairs, they found them 318. And they felt like confused. Why there is another one? And they felt the reason of the season, Jesus Christ, he is there. Because Arius, Adur, al-Masih, he denied the divinity. He said, oh, he is God, but not equal to God the Father. For that he was against Christ. And in the Council of Constantinople, anyhow, the 150 bishops in the year 381, and he was Adu Ruh al-Qudus. He felt like the Holy Spirit is an angel. But if you read in every time to Igbiya, till in the third hour, in the fourth part, it's talking about you are the heavenly king, which is the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, so that we are praising the Holy Spirit, because after the fathers, confessed to us and explained to the ordinary people that this is the true tradition, that the Holy Spirit is the third essence of God the Father. And the council, the Ecumenical Council of Ephesus, which is the three main councils our church, Orthodox Church, preserve and respect, the 200, again, because he was feeling mysterious that the Theotokos is the bearer, not the mother of God. And he twisted that Greek name, the Theotokos, to another. He just added another letter, Theodokos, I believe, or something like that. You can ask Abu Ibrahim. He just twisted. He just changed one letter. Instead of the T, it pronounced like a D, so it became not the mother of God, but the bearer of God. Just as, for that he was against that. And that's why the introduction of the creed established at that time. But that this is a lot of tests. This is just like the one before the end, which we're talking about the apostolic church. Our church is apostolic church because unbroken chain, we can trace that. We can see what happened in every century, in every pope, until it reached us from St. Mark, which he took the face from the Lord Jesus Christ, unbroken chain through the fathers, which they safeguarded the face until it reached us from St. Mark to Ananias, until the Pope Carolus, until Pope Shenouda the Third. And what about other churches, the non-apostolic? Their leaders didn't take the education from the apostles, for that they are not apostolic churches. Let's get to the final slide. And now they can test that, they can measure the glory of the traditions of the fathers. This is how to measure the church. Saint Mary appeared in one of our churches, for that this is like feeling like heaven supporting us, that we are the true, the apostolic, that we safeguarded the tradition from Christ to the apostles to until it reached us. That's why Saint Paul at the end, he said, keep away from any brother who is living in idleness and is not accord with the tradition which you received it from us. For that you have to keep away from that. You have to love that you are, we are practicing the traditions. All of us practicing the same worship, for that we are keeping, safeguarding the traditions as it passes. As a conclusion, we know what is the tradition now. All of us, we can defend if anybody said the tradition is an antique or something now. It's very essential, very important. This is the blood going in our vessel from through the fathers, through the apostles, through Christ, for that we are one by the tradition. And the tradition, you can see it in everywhere. When you enter, when you pray, when you cross yourself with the cross, when you hear them talking to them, it's all the worship of the church, and it's all the face of Christianity. Glory for God forever. Amen. Any question? We got tired of you.
Actually, I have a question.
Yes.
I'm going to learn today. So we can. Yeah. Is it accurate to say that the tradition is two parts: the biblical reference and an actual how, right? So the how itself, it changed from the time of the apostles. Some of these hows changed over time. Is there for the servants, is there a book that they can reference that says, for example, or they stand up and curse the whole time? When these things, how they came about and when they changed and why they changed, is there some references for the servants to have?
There is some. There is a very important question here, heard by Iher. There was traditions going in the early church. And these traditions we don't keep now because maybe the guidance of the Holy Spirit life, the catechumens, mawazin, they were in some part of the liturgy, they have to leave. They have to not to attend. Anyone is not baptized has to leave the church exactly when the Holy Kiss. And after that, the anaphora, which is lifting your heart, lifting the Bruce Freen, And this is, the doors will be closed and they all have to leave. This tradition is not now kept by the church. Where to find it? I'm sure one of the references we said, the father's books, the father's writing. I'm not sure which books we can see where is the transition and when it happened, but we can search if we can find one of these traditions to several generations and stopped and start to taking not another way, but maybe it's another step getting up. I'm not sure if I answered that. I'm sure there is traditions.
Those references for them to keep and use.
Yeah.
Because that's a very important topic.
Yeah, one of the references I took from Ihab, actually, which Abuna Tadrusi, I was talking about the holy tradition, and I did copy that, actually. For that, if you do like to read more, Abraham, I know that he told me he do like, I can make you a copy of that book. And I'm sure as it became interest in that subject, maybe I'll search more and find, and how I can say that it's clear. The Apostle Canon book, and in that book you'll find like one of the things is why we celebrate Christmas in January 7th, not in Christmas or the Nativity feast, not in December 25th, because it's written there. It's written, they said, the Apostle says, you have to celebrate this feast in the 29th of the Egyptian month at that time. For that became the resurrection, the annunciation, the nativity in the 29 of the Egyptian month, which became the Coptic month after that. For that 29 of Kirk, 29 of, I'm sure, Brahmat or whatever, it has to be the 29. For that, the 29 of every Coptic month, we have a celebration in the church. For that, it's now we know that through the books now, that one of the Catholic popes, and in one of the time, I forget his name, and he said
Gregory.
Today is the
Gregory
the Great, and he said that October 15 today, consider it October. He was genius in math, for that he calculated, and he felt like, and maybe at the time there was a celebration, pagan celebration on the 25th of December. He'd like to switch them to celebrate. Maybe he has a good cause, but he just took that on himself and became December 25th.
Constantine put on the 25th.
Yeah.
Okay. For that, but because we are Apostolic Church, with Magna Hagar Yani Fa'eh, we said no. This is what the Apostle.
You say that when you finish, I say no.
No.
We're going to do it this heaven board.
The Apostle says the 29th. Oh, the Egyptian month, 29 of Kiyak, this is January 7th. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, one God. Thank you so much.
Thank you.